Hi everyone, this is Danny.
And this is Sharissa, ready to bring you Looking Up.
Starting right after this song.
Would you turn me back around again?
Your spirit is my help. He'll fix my eyes on Jesus Christ. I'll say that it is well.
Help me to see your face. Open my eyes.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another exciting, explosive Looking Up show. You are listening to the Looking Up show this week, and it's Wednesday, 27th of March. The first quarter of the year is almost done and dusted, and we have some fascinating and incredible prophetic developments for you once again this week, as always on the Looking Up show, as we prepare to look up because our redemption is drawing near. So if you're listening for the very first time, or you are one of our regular listeners that have been tuning in for the past 4 years, we want to give you a big warm welcome. So I'm Danny, And I'm joined in the studio, of course, in the driver's seat, in our engine room, making it all happen, the one and wonderful Shell. Welcome, Shell.
Good afternoon. It's so great to be here with you all again this Wednesday.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to have Shell, and she ensures that we have some kind of law and order here on the show. But what I do have here is a special guest, apart from our good friend Shell. She's our regular. But we have my good friend, Marcial. Welcome, Marcial.
Thank you. Thank you, Danny and Shell, for having me here. Yeah, I'm really excited and I'm blessed to be here.
We are exciting to have Marcial. So today, Marcial is going to be sharing his story. In the past couple of weeks, we have had stories shared by Malcolm and Cynthia. So if you missed out on those testimonies, those very, very powerful testimonies, I'd encourage you to tune in. Go to the podcasts where they've all been uploaded on the Faith FM website. Better still, download the Faith FM app. And on that app, you will find all the previous presentations of all the major programs on the Faith FM network, including the Looking Up show. So you can listen to previous broadcasts. You can share them with your friends, family, and whoever else would appreciate them. Today we have Marcial. Marcial, why are you here? Like, what are you doing in this part of the world? In Lake Macquarie and the Currumbong area. What on earth are you doing here?
I'm a pastor. Uh-huh. I have two churches now. I'm pastoring Swansea Church, Coast Life, mm-hmm. He's in Swansea area. And this year, actually, they gave me another church as well to pastor, and that's Warner's Bay Seventh Adventist Church.
Fantastic, yeah. Fantastic. So that's double the blessing, double the stress. Praise the Lord for that. Well, we're going to hear all about Marcial and his journey today. If you want to contact us through text, 0488 176 24, that's 0488 176 24, please, we'd love to hear from you. But in the meantime, we've got an exciting song coming up to get us up and going, Shell.
Yes, this is Vocal Union with I Wanna Love You. It's a fantastic a cappella group.
I will love you regardless of anyone else does. I wanna serve you even if I'm all alone. Though others forsake you, I wanna give you my faith and trust. Faithfully follow everywhere you go. I wanna love you regardless if anyone else does. I wanna serve you even if I'm all alone. Though others forsake you, I wanna give you my faith and trust. Faithfully follow everywhere you go. You are my sun in the morning, my star in the night. You're my manna from heaven, you're my fountain. Sun in the morning, my star in the night. You're my manna from heaven, you're my fountain of life. You are my oil, you're my healing, my constant delight. You're my shepherd protecting me.
You are my guiding light.
Oh, some people say you're not reality. Some people all alone. Though others
others forsake you, I want to give you my faith and trust. Faithfully follow everywhere you go. You are my sun in the morning, my star in the night.
You're my manna from heaven, you're my fountain of life. You are my oil, you're my healing, my constant delight. You're my shepherd protecting me.
You are my sun in the morning, star in the night.
You're my manna from heaven, you're my fountain of life. You are my all, you're my healing, my constant delight. You're my shepherd protecting me.
You are my guiding light.
Well, I wanna love you regardless of anyone else does. I wanna serve you even if I'm all alone.
That was Vocal Union. You are listening to the Looking Up show. And we have a book offer that we would like to start letting you all know about. We will be sharing a code word with you in the next hour. But we want you to know that we have a fantastic book by Mark Finley, and it is called The Church Triumphant, A Called to Prophecy Destiny. So let's keep that in mind, everybody, that you're going to want to get a copy of that book. So be ready when we give out the code, and you will be able to text in to get a copy of that book. We'll give you more details in future segments.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. What a beautiful song, Marcel. You were just commenting that you really love that song. Beautiful voices.
Yeah, it's a beautiful song.
Oh, incredible harmonies as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can you sing like that?
In heaven, I will.
In heaven. In heaven. I'm not even sure if I'll be allowed to sing like that in heaven. Who knows? But no, that was beautiful. Let's praise the Lord for giving these wonderful, wonderful gifts and abilities to many so that we can all be blessed. Well, you're on the Looking Up show, folk. And today we have another exciting program where we're going to be tapping into what's taking place around the world when it comes to Bible prophecy being fulfilled before our very eyes. We're living in very exciting times, Marcel, don't you think?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I'm looking forward to this program and what you have to share with us.
Oh, absolutely. How can you not be looking forward to the program on the Looking Up show? I'm with you, brother. That was fantastic. So if you want to comment, any comments, questions, prayer requests, please let us know. 0488 1764 624. It'd be lovely to know that you're out there and there's someone listening and we're not talking to ourselves. That would be nice, wouldn't it, Marcel? Just in case we're just talking to ourselves. But there are many sites. There's 159 different radio sites around the country that are operating right now as we speak. And so I'm sure there are people out there listening. So let us know. And, share with us your thoughts, your comments. All right. Well, Marcel, there's been a lot happening this week. Let's start off with with our own backyard and what's been taking place that I'm sure folk that have been tuning into the news will be aware of. Firstly, in the early hours, and I'm talking early hours of Friday morning, the New South Wales government passed the anti-conversion. I'm getting confused with another bit of legislation that we're going to be looking at. The New South Wales government banned gay conversion therapy, and that there was like an all-night meeting. They debated, they discussed. There were amendments. I think about 17 amendments. None of them got passed. Some from a Christian perspective or a religious perspective, not just the Christians, but a religious perspective. Some from the other side that wanted the law to be a little bit more stringent. Didn't think that the government's legislation had gone far enough. And 6:30 Friday morning, literally, they stayed up all day, all night, till 6:30 Friday morning, until they passed this gay conversion therapy bill. It was a marathon session. And so now we have New South Wales that has joined several other states, including Victoria that has probably the worst legislation in this space that impinges on religious freedoms. We have the ACT. They have already passed New Zealand, of course, you know, across the ditch, they have passed it. Now we've got Tasmania and South Australia. They're considering their own legislation as well as WA. So tell us, what are your thoughts on this, this radical eradication, if I could use that language, of religious freedoms and the freedom of speech that we have taken for granted for so, so long?
Well, yeah, I think we don't have freedom, religion of freedom and religion of speech. And yeah, it's interesting. Like, you know, I have to be preparing my wife just to let her know that maybe in the future I will end up in jail or something like that.
Yeah.
With those things, those kind of things that, yes.
It's true. Yeah. Like, I mean, just sharing from scripture.
Yeah.
Like, we won't deal with it right now because we don't have time. But in Canada, there is this crazy, like, bill that makes our legislation look like good legislation. In Canada, they're looking to propose a bill there. And my friend, that was Miko. You might have bumped into Miko from Canada. You maybe haven't. He was on our program here. Some listeners may remember him. Anyway, he's a Canadian. He was down here for a week of prayer at Macquarie College, and he was sharing with me regarding this legislation in Canada where if you're simply reading certain texts from the Bible, just reading certain texts from the Bible, that can be considered a hate crime. That can be considered anti-discrimination, and that can be considered a criminal offense. So we're heading in that direction, and it's interesting that, you know, when this legislation was passed, what our premier said is that this legislation is sending a clear message that those who are part of, and I'm quoting now, those who are part of the LGBTQ plus community are not broken and they do not need fixing. They're not broken and they ought to be accepted as they are, and they ought to be protected, and they ought to be allowed to have the same rights, same privileges, same access to all of our institutions, be it schools, be it church, be it wherever. That goes against scripture, because scripture teaches we're all broken.
Oh, yeah.
We all need fixing. Mm-hmm. The last time I checked my Bible, it says all have sinned, all are broken. You know, what did Jesus say? He didn't come to those who are well.
Mm-hmm.
He came as the divine physician to those who are sick.
Yep.
So we're all sick. So be you, whether you're straight, whether you're LGBT, whether you're whatever you are, if you're a human being, you're alive and you're breathing, you are a sinner and you are in need of Christ. We all need to repent. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, we're all broken.
Oh, definitely.
We're all sinners.
And that's what you were saying. That's what the Bible teaches, right? Like we have all fallen short from the glory of God. So we all need repair. We all need divine help. And actually, that's when Jesus came to this world, he was that good shepherd looking after those who have been gone astray. And actually, in fact, in the book of Ezekiel, talks about like God gave the responsibility for of shepherds to the people of Israel. But they didn't fulfill that responsibility. So the good shepherd, the true shepherd, had to come and rescue those who were lost. And I think we are all in that category.
We are
all broken. Yeah,
we are. So if someone from the LGBT community comes to you, and I've shared this, if they come to me and they want to accept Christ, they want to accept the healing that comes from Christ alone, whether they're LGBT, whether they're a heterosexual, male or female, it makes no difference. I'm going to point them to Christ, who alone can fix them. And we all need repentance. But now this kind of communication, this kind of discussion with a potential LGBT person can lead to prosecution. Potentially. So this law doesn't come into place for 12 months. So just in case, folk, you're wondering, it won't come into force in 12 months' time.
Now, next year.
It's been more than 12 months since the Victorian legislation, which is far more draconian than this, has been in place. I haven't heard whether it's been enforced in any which way. So I haven't heard. Well, I guess time will tell. Time will tell. But it just tells us the times that we are living in.
Have you heard any cases of
Of the Victorians? No, I haven't. No, of any either religious leaders or just, you know, any, you know, members of various, you know, faith communities being prosecuted. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard. Because in Victoria, unlike our legislation, but in Victoria, if someone comes to you from the LGBT community and they want prayer, they want advice, they come to you. Mm-hmm. You're not going to them. They're coming to you and they're asking for advice. They're asking for prayer. They're asking for you to share with them in connection with God's plan for their lives. And you share with them what Scripture says in connection with their lifestyle and what God's plan is. That is a crime. Wow. That is a crime punishable in Victoria.
And you can be expedited. So if somebody calls you from Victoria and asks you to pray for them because
that's a good point.
You can actually get expedited to Victoria for prosecution.
That is a very good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. Now, on another matter, I mean, there's been a lot happening in legislative circles. In federal parliament, so this was New South Wales that we were just talking about in connection with this anti-conversion bill that was passed early Friday morning. The Australian Law Reform Commission came out with its report on whether, basically the bottom line is, whether faith-based schools can continue to have in legislation the ability to discriminate, like legally, on who they employ as their teaching staff, and how their students are to conduct themselves and what is and isn't allowed as far as the student body is concerned. Well, guess what? The Australian Law Reform Commission said no go from here on. We don't believe that is fair. We don't believe that is just. We believe that's discriminating against individuals, be they teachers, be they students, be they the parents of students. This is discriminating against them if they're from the LGBT community. And so our federal government, our Labor Prime Minister, at first he said he was only going to proceed with this legislation, this religious, in connection with, you know, religious liberty. This, he was only going to proceed if there was going to be bipartisan support. That is, if the Liberal Party was going to support it. Mm. But just, I think yesterday, I heard the news that he's done a backflip and he said he's willing to work with the Greens to pass this legislation. And the Greens will put even stronger measures in place against faith-based communities. And so it appears that the Labor government is like, using almost political blackmail to say, liberals, if you don't get on board, it's going to be far worse if I have to work with the Greens. So you better work with me. And that way, the Labor government will be seen as doing something that has bipartisan support, that this is supported by both Liberal and Labor. And there's a lot of politics involved, but let me just share with you this media release. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to read a few thoughts here from, this is a media release that was put out March 21. From the Australian Association of Christian Schools, the Associated Christian Schools, and the Christian Schools Australia. So three big umbrella institutions that deal with, that head up, you know, the Christian schools in Australia. And there are, you know, there are thousands of students in Christian schools right around Australia, you know, be they Catholic, Anglican, Seventh-day Adventist, whatever. Notice what this, the headline, this is the headline. ALRC, that's the Australian Law Reform Commission, report a direct attack on faith. Christian school groups have categorically denounced recommendations in today's report by the Australian Law Reform Commission to remove the right of faith-based schools to employ staff who share their beliefs and call upon the Albanese government to immediately reject the recommendations. The recommendations in the final report provide fewer protections for faith-based schools than in the controversial initial consultation report. So it's getting worse. And if the Greens get their fingers in it, and I'm not political, I don't believe in that. I just look at things from a prophetic point of view. But if the Greens get their fingers on this legislation, it's going to be 10 times worse. Let me just share with you. This is what basically they conclude. They conclude that if this legislation goes through, it will be the death of faith-based schools. Mm. That's it. If schools cannot, if they cannot have the right to choose who they want as teachers, You know, it's not just Bible teachers that are praying and sharing spiritual counsel with students. Maths teachers, English teachers, you know, PE teachers, manual arts teachers, they all in Christian schools. I know that because I went to Christian schools. They all have a part to play in sharing Christ. You know, they're all there to pray with and encourage. Yeah. And so if you've got, you know, teachers that are not in harmony with the Christian principles and they're teaching something very different and you cannot dismiss them, that basically guts the Christian schools from their faith-based ethos and their practice, and that's it. There's no Christian schools.
Would that apply to self-funded schools as well?
Not sure. That's a good point, whether that would or not. I'm assuming it would because this is federal legislation. Mm. So this is not necessarily tied to funding. This is federal legislation. So you've got a little boy that we're going to find out a little bit about. And, so, I mean, where do you send him to school in the near future if legislation like this passes?
Homeschool.
Exactly. Homeschooling. Homeschooling is becoming more and more of a trend. So, folk, there's a lot more that we're going to be sharing in the next section. We've got a song, and then we've got the news that we'll be dealing with, and then we're going to come back with some more prophetic developments before we tap into the testimony from Marcielle, which you will not want to miss. So, Shell, what have you got for us, my friend?
This is Anna Houston with Selah.
The blood that was shed, to the life that was led, to the price that was paid, I am a slave. At the foot of the cross, for the to the lost, for the ultimate strife, I give my life to you. I give my life to you. Say, Lord, God is good. Say, Lord. He promised he would take away the sins of the world, and he did. Selah. For the blessings you give, for the lessons I live, for each breath that I take, I sing you praise. Today I sing you praise. Today. Promised he would take away the sins of the world.
everyone. You're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right. And if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. There's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun. So catch you then.
Hey, look up, child. Hey, look up.
You're listening to The Looking Up Show, and you're with Danny Marcial, who is our special guest today and who is weighing in on how this world is drawing nearer to its use-by date in the coming of Jesus. Hallelujah, eh?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. I mean, we're not happy and we're not excited about all this craziness that we see going on around us, but these things tell us that we had to look up because our redemption is drawing near, and that's the exciting part. There's nothing other than that that's exciting about the current situation in the world. And we've got Shell, of course. She's directing traffic, making sure we're on track for the most part. Praise the Lord for Shell. So whilst we were in the break there and listening to that bit of music, that lovely bit of music and the news, I was just doing some crunching of those numbers of how many students will have be impacted by this potential legislation that may be rolled out by the federal government based on the Australian Law Reform Commission's report and its its recommendations. 160,000 students around the country.
Wow.
And so you've got, you talked about just briefly that you've got a little boy, and he's how many months old?
10 months.
10 months old. And all this is now starting to be discussed and rolled out. So you see really no other option for you and your dear wife, Amy, other than homeschooling.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Actually, we've been looking into some curriculums and things that we can do to homeschool our kids in the future.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was visiting a family just this week. I won't mention who they are. They've got two beautiful kids and they live in a country property. And they've chosen homeschooling. They've chosen homeschooling because they are just seeing that even within Christian schools, the pressure is just enormous, and you know, the influences and so forth. So it's becoming a real challenge.
Well, I actually went to Christian school all my years, you know, like up until high school. And let me tell you, it was the same or sometimes worse than the public schools. Pretty bad. Yeah.
It can be. So, but Christian schools, I believe, have been established by God to teach from a biblical foundation, a biblical worldview. And it's interesting, just, you know, this report or this media release from these, you know, three large Christian bodies that oversee, you know, these 160,000 students and staff. They share a number of things, and there's a few things that are really key that I just want to point out before we move on. This is what one of the spokespersons, Mark Spencer, he had to say. He say, they, that is parents, enroll their children knowing that our teachers and staff are aligned with our beliefs and that students will be taught according to our beliefs. That's just straightforward. We used to take that for granted. We used to think, well, big deal. That's a no-brainer, you know. If people want a Christian education, they will pay for that and they'll send their kids there. And the government, obviously, you know, what business does the government have? But now we're seeing everything change for the first time in the history of schooling, especially in Christianity and faith-based. It's not just the Muslim schools. Mm-hmm. The Muslim School Association, they're outraged. They are outraged. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. If these recommendations are adopted, parents would lose this right, and the government has no right to remove this choice. And that's true. It goes on. It says, a staff member who doesn't share and support our beliefs cannot effectively teach our beliefs or support students according to our beliefs. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. And then just finally, I'll just finish off with this statement, which is just so true. If these ALRC recommendations are adopted, it means the government can tell Christian schools who we can employ, what we can believe, and what we can teach. It sets a scary precedent. And the question Australians need to ask is, who's next? Will they dictate, that is the government, will the government dictate to any other religious group or organization what they can believe? I mean, who's going to be next? Potentially churches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what churches can teach and believe, like what's happening in Canada, potentially, you know. And so, yeah, so we're living in this very interesting time. There is just so much going on, like immorality is being legislated, you know, cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
I get this newsletter from ACL, you know, the Australian Christian Lobby, called Voice for Truth. And this was the March, 2024 edition. And I'm telling you, when I looked through this, I won't take the time to look at it. It deals with issues of abortion, deals with issues of gender ideology. It deals with, sexuality, brothels. Like in Queensland, you know, brothels, it's become sort of the brothel capital of Australia when it comes to legislation. So when you take a look at, the legislation that is being adopted, changes in tax regulations that could impact the advancement of religion and religious institutions. So the misinformation, disinformation bill and so on and so forth, all this stuff, there's so much of it, it's impossible to keep up. We could literally just do a two-hour program every week just taking a look at the highlights of what's going on in the area of religions being, of, you know, religion and faith in Australia being curtailed and being squashed. There's so much. And so we've got not only Christians but people of faith that are beginning to rise up.
Mm-hmm.
So are you beginning to see a pendulum swing? Are you beginning to see people who are frustrated? They're at the point of saying, this has to stop. Mm-hmm. Enough is enough. We need, whether you're religious or not, we need those conservative values to come back. You were sharing with me some of the things that are happening even in your part of the world, in South America.
Yeah, definitely. Like I'm more familiar with what is happening in
So tell us, Latin tell America. Us, tell us what's happening in Latin America.
If you're familiar with the region, recently a president from Argentina was elected, Javier Milei.
Yes.
And he's really, pushing. He's like right wing, so to speak.
So conservative.
And conservative. Mm-hmm. And he's bringing God back into the picture as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Donald Trump as well.
Yes.
There's another president in Costa Rica. The same thing. He's trying to push and bring God back because they are seeing that where we're heading is not it won't have a nice outcome.
So they're seeing the impact on society and where this train is heading. And they're like, we got to stop the train and we got to head in the opposite direction.
Yes, definitely. But the president from El Salvador, my dad is from El Salvador, so I'm really familiar with the region, I'm really familiar with the country, Bukele. He actually changed, El Salvador was the capital murder of the whole world.
Wow.
And he changed that, and now is one of the safest, he's competing actually with Canada to see which one is the safest country in the whole region.
Are you serious?
Yes. It's just incredible.
From the deadliest place on the planet
to
now one of the safest places there in the Americas.
Yes. And he's really, just bringing God back into the picture. And he's saying, like, we cannot, continue in this direction, and unless God is with us and unless we change, things will change. Otherwise, this won't happen. And actually, I just want to share just something briefly that our reporter was asking him about.
So this president.
Yeah, President Bukele from El Salvador. This reporter was asking him about gender ideology in the country.
Yes.
And actually, he said, we do not allow these ideologies in schools and universities. This is contrary to nature, contrary to God, and must be eradicated.
Wow.
And yeah, this is the man of God, man. Like President from Salvador Bukele. Some people have different opinions, but he is really, really changing that country for good.
Mm.
And what he's doing is just bringing God into the picture and praising God for what God is doing in the country.
Mm. Amen. Charlotte, at any time, if you want to weigh in, feel free.
Yeah, just a question. So what's his, I mean, because obviously when you change direction, you usually go fully the opposite direction and go the opposite extreme. So then we probably will see other issues start to take place as far as religious liberty still not existing because it's being enforced in other ways, or the church and state are uniting, or things of that nature. What do you think?
Well, yes.
So, like, basically the question, which I think it's worth unpacking. So is the church having more of an influence in the government in some of these countries where the pendulum is beginning to swing based on some of the leaders that are being elected?
I think a little bit, a little bit. Actually, a group of evangelical churches, they got it together actually, and they invited the president to be like the main speaker, and he was the main speaker. Actually, he did pretty much like a sermon, and so it's a little bit.
I mean that's fully all fantastic, but you do tend to see it'll start.
Well, we know
start going.
We know
opposite.
Absolutely. So, like we've been saying on this show for the last 4 years, and we're not changing our tune because the Bible doesn't change its tune. The Bible's set in stone as to how these final events will unfold. We know that the King of the South, which is this secular, atheistic worldview which we have right now, we know that the King of the North, which is, you know, faith-based or Christian-led morality, is going to come over the top. And so at the moment we have governments in the West legislating immorality, but the moment will come when governments seek to legislate morality, and as part of that there will be worship meddling. There will be worship enforcement. Revelation 13 tells us. So, and I believe that's going to be accompanied with chaos in the world. It's going to be accompanied with miracles and signs and a whole bunch of things. And it's interesting that that's all taking place. And I believe what's happening in the Middle East right now is part of this pendulum swing. Because in the Middle East right now, we've had, after almost 6 months, finally the Security Council, after about the fourth or fifth try and attempt, have managed to vote through a resolution on Gaza, a ceasefire, an immediate ceasefire, and the release of all the hostages there in Gaza by Hamas. Now, this has outraged the Israelis. The Americans abstained. The rest all voted in favor of this resolution. The Americans abstained. Now, the Christians who see Israel at the very center of end-time prophecy, they're outraged. And so the Republicans, including Mike Johnson, they are pro-Israel, and they are like, this ought not to be happening. Whereas, you know, our friend Biden and the Democrats, they're kind of in between a rock and a hard place, because a lot of their voting bloc is from the Islamic world and is part of the progressive left, as they call it, or the woke left. And so this has become a real political hot potato. But I can just clearly see that what's happening in the Middle East is going to galvanize the Christians and the conservatives that are especially, you know, supporting Israel. And this is going to really just, you know, go to a new level. I said this on October, you know, shortly after October 7, I said this is not just going to be another skirmish in the Middle East. And it's turning out to be very complicated and complex, and potentially this is going to erupt into something huge, where potentially you could have the West versus the Muslim world, you know, West by Christians and the Jewish community. And that can bring about a call for, guess what? Peace and
safety.
What does the Bible say? When they cry for peace and safety,
sudden destruction. Then sudden destruction.
So that's right at the end. And guess who is prime position to be the peace and safety ambassador for the world? Pope Francis and the Vatican. And the Bible tells us that the whole world, the kings of the earth, will give their authority and power to this beast power. In Revelation 17, it talks about that for one single hour. So we know that the world's going to be in chaos. It's heading in that direction from many angles. And this is all going to lead to this pendulum swing. So we can just see the pieces lining up. It's just mind-boggling. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. Now, we've only got a minute left.
I think we got a perfect opportunity to segue into the quote from our book that we're giving away.
We do.
Do you want to read that one for us,
Dan? Okay, this is cool. The Church Triumphant. This is the book we're giving away by Mark Findlay. No matter how challenging the days ahead, no matter how dark the future becomes, no matter what difficulties the Church goes through, Christ's people, Christ's church, Christ's purposes, and Christ's plan will triumph at last. And there are four copies.
Amen.
That's a powerful statement. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Bible tells us that it's going to be a very dark time for not only the earth, but especially those who are faithful to God that will not go along with this worship mandate that will be rolled out at the end of time. But we've read the last two chapters. And the Lamb wins, and God's people will be victorious through Christ.
Amen.
So this book is fantastic. So, folk, there's so much more to talk about. There's a solar eclipse, April 8th in 2024 in the US that they're talking big, and a whole bunch of other things that we don't have any more time for because we need to tap into this wonderful and incredible testimony. So what's our song that we're going to before that?
Yes, we're just going to have Daryl Sawyer bring us Near to the Heart of God before we get into a fantastic testimony.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait for thee, near to the heart of God. There is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart.
You are listening to that beautiful piece of music that is a great way to launch into the life story of our special guest, Marcial. It's great to have you. You have been, you are on top of what is going on in the world from a prophetic point of view. Praise the Lord for that.
I just love prophecy, man. I love prophecy. And when I see prophecy aligning with what is happening in the world, I just get excited.
Yeah, well, what did Jesus say in John 14:29? I have told you these things so that when they come to pass, that you may believe.
Yeah, exactly.
It really enables us to believe and to trust and to put our confidence in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's just powerful. And I love the words of Jesus in Matthew 24. Let me see if I can quickly go there. In Matthew 24, in that sermon in connection with the signs of the times, this is what Jesus says in connection with the signs of the times. Matthew 24 and verse 35. Do you have Matthew 24, verse 35, Marcel, if you want to read that for us, please? This is in connection with the signs of the times.
Yeah, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away.
Wow. Mm. So Jesus is saying the things that I have foretold, they will come to pass. Mm. You know, they will come to pass. Heaven and earth has a better chance of passing away than the word, the sure word of prophecy. Mm. Mm. You know, as Peter puts it in 2 Peter, you know, chapter 1, he says, you know, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And he says that you do well to take heed as a light in the dark place, you know. And we're told, you know, to meditate on these things, not for the sake of curiosity, but for the sake of building the faith of one another and of those who we are seeking to reach for Christ. Bible prophecy is a powerful magnet for those who are seeking and searching to point them to Christ.
Yep.
And I mean, you know, Jesus, how many prophecies in the Old Testament pointed to Christ? Many of them. Oh, yeah. We have some comments coming through, and let's tap into them. So who do we have, Shell?
Jane has texted in, and she says, faith-based schools should just stand and shut down. Where will the kids go? State government schools won't be able to cope. Interestingly, the government is about to review homeschooling in Australia, maybe in preparation for exodus of families from Christian and faith-based in other schools,
That's a really good point, Jane. And so, yes, we need to make a stand. We absolutely need to make a stand, because if we compromise even just a little bit, then the door is open and it won't stop there. It won't stop there. So we do need to make a stand. Totally agree with you, Jane. And it's interesting, and I did hear a whisper about that. Maybe we need to look into that some more. Thanks for alerting us to that. But, yeah, the government now wants to put its sticky little fingers into homeschooling. sorry. I'm dying. That's the Malen cough. I'm dying. The school systems, the Christian school systems on death row, and I'm on death row. We're all dying together. Maybe that's a sign. Maybe that's a harbinger of what's to come. So, hey, look, we know that this is where things will go before the pendulum swings. Look, I mean, if you don't have a place anywhere, and there were countries in the world where it was, and even to this day, there's potentially countries in the world where you aren't allowed to homeschool. It's illegal to homeschool. There are countries today in the world where you're not, and you have to send your kids to the government-run schools where they're indoctrinated by the government according to their template.
I have to go back to Honduras then.
Back to Honduras.
Liberty.
Yes, yes, yes. And is there another comment there, from Wayne, or was that from last week?
No, I think that one's from today.
Oh, yes. Okay.
It's saying to Sharissa, so it was probably sent through just before the show. But it says, blessings, hope you're well, looking forward to a fiery, pumping, eye-opening of Scripture in days' time. I'm public bus driver today. I got a good bus, good radio, and it's on volume with purpose.
I love it, Wayne.
Wayne's always playing Faith FM on his bus.
Praise the Lord. Hey, captive audience. They can't go anywhere. And put it up nice and loud so it's louder than what they've got in their ears, their earphones, their earplugs. So anyway, well done, Wayne. We need it. Well, Jesus bless. Jesus did say we've got to shout the message from the rooftop.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure he was talking about the buses as well. So, fantastic.
Before we get into the testimony, why don't we give our code word
okay,
for
let's do
our
that.
Book, let's The do Church that. Triumphant. So we have 4 copies to give away, and we would love for you to text in for those copies. And our code word, if you're ready, is LU, for looking up, LU 24, and the word attached to that with no spaces is soon. LU 24, soon.
Soon Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So let's talk about the life of Marcel. Marvelous Marcel. Well. So you're obviously from Honduras, as you've pointed out. So let's start off with where you're at right now. You're married to one wife.
Yeah, married to one wife. Yeah.
Happily married to one
Happily
wife?
Happily married to one wife.
Oh, yep. Praise God. Is your wife listening in right now as we speak?
Hopefully. Hopefully she will be listening.
If she's not running around little Santiago.
Yeah, yeah.
So you've got a little nipper.
Yep. Yeah, he's an earthquake.
He's an earthquake. Everywhere he goes, there's destruction. I love that.
Yeah.
How many months is he now?
10 months.
Ten months old. Yeah. Wow.
I think I'm paying, you know, all the pain that it caused my parents. I'm paying back
this
then.
This is what you call, what do they call that in our Catholic friends? They call it, not penance, they call it, what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know what the Catholics call it, but a lot of people call it karma.
Yeah.
The mystics.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll think of that word and... But anyway, yeah, so that must be, yeah, I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting.
And I remember what it was like for me all those years ago when our first little pelican came along. Mm-hmm. Very exciting. But it keeps you on your toes.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, he wants to play.
Play all the time. He's really alert and he's a very social kid.
Wow.
And he got that from my wife. So,
okay.
Yeah.
You're pretty social.
My wife is more social than me.
Yeah, she's more social, but old Amy, yeah. So how's she enjoying motherhood?
She's loving it. She's loving it. A little bit, yeah. She's tired at times, but she's loving it. We want more kids, so.
Well, yeah, that's it. If you want many more kids, like, you know, the first commandment was be fruitful and multiply.
Exactly. So, and the perfect number is seven.
Seven, exactly. So you're one down, six to go.
Yeah, exactly. So we're aiming for that.
So how does Amy feel about that? She's all excited about the perfect number?
No, she's not.
She's hoping for an imperfect number. Yeah. Hey, look. The more kids you have, you could, you know, if you're homeschooling, you could have like a whole classroom.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
You could have a classroom. Exactly. She's the teacher, and away you go. And you have all the different grades.
Yeah,
have one kid every year, and you'll have one kid in every grade through high school. I mean, through primary school.
Yeah, you can create your own curriculum and then sell it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And look, if you have 13 kids, you'll go through the entirety of primary school and high school, all the way through, one a year.
Yeah.
You can do that. She's still pretty young.
I think she won't be happy with that idea. But.
There you go. So, that's wonderful. And so you're pastoring a couple of churches?
Yeah, two, yeah. Coast Light, that is in Swansea.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there. This is my third year there.
Mm-hmm.
Warners Bay. I just started like at the beginning of this year in Warners Bay Church.
Warners Bay Seventh Adventist Church. So, folk, if you want to hear more from Marcial, you need to go to the Warners Bay Seventh Adventist Church or the Coast Life Seventh Adventist Church there in
Swansea area.
So there you go. A couple of places where you can connect with Marcial. You're also studying, finishing off your studies here at Avondale.
Yeah. I'm finishing my master's. 2 units to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be praising the Lord when that happens.
Wow.
I'm pretty busy.
So you've got two churches. You're studying here at Avondale University.
Yep.
And you've got a 10-month-old hurricane.
Yep.
Earthquake.
Yep.
In the house.
Yep.
You've got a wife as well that you need to give some attention to and be there for.
Yep. Yep.
Where do you find time for anything else?
I don't have time.
So you're chasing your tail. You're like,
It's
like busy bee.
Yeah. Pretty busy, but I like to be busy, you know. Like the old saying says, like an occupying mind is the devil's playground. So I'd rather be busy.
Yes. So, that's fine. And you got time to come on the Looking Up show.
Oh, I couldn't miss this, especially you asking.
Absolutely. Well, considering that I am Marcial's mentor and I won't pass him, so he'll never become a pastor if he didn't come on. I mean, I said it in the nicest possible way. It wasn't like bribery, corruption, threatenings. It wasn't anything like that. I said, look, Marcial, in the nicest possible Christian way, if you don't come on my radio program while Charissa is away in America with her family, I'm just not going to pass you. I'm just going to put in a really bad report for you and you'll never be a pastor. So it's your choice. I mean,
we're talking about freedom, right?
Yeah, freedom. I was like, you were free to choose. Free to choose option A or option B. Okay, no, seriously. Tell us. So you're born in Honduras?
Yeah.
So tell us, how did it all begin?
Born and raised in Honduras. For those who don't know where Honduras is, in Central America. It's pretty much between North America and South America. One of those small countries.
Is that in that little skinny strip that sort of joins those two big countries?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, in one of those countries. It's a beautiful country in nature wise, but is really the government is really corrupt and is very dangerous. It's a very dangerous country. If you go, you have to know who you're going with and where you're going to.
Wow.
Otherwise, it can be a little bit dangerous, and I wouldn't recommend anyone to go there without knowing.
So you'd be a bit silly if you're a backpacker and you just wanted to go and explore the country, jump on buses, hitchhike here and there. Probably wouldn't be wise.
It wouldn't be wise, especially if you don't speak Spanish. Maybe if you speak Spanish, maybe it's a little bit easier, but if you don't speak Spanish,
I
can recommend that to El Salvador now, but not Honduras.
So El Salvador is that country that was the worst, one of the worst in the world, and now it's become one of the safest places.
But
unfortunately, Honduras is not following.
It's not, and even though we have borders with them, and pretty much we're brother countries.
Yeah,
it's like Australia, New Zealand, but it's not a safe place.
Okay. Yeah. So you grew up there, and so tell us a little bit about your family, mom and dad, brothers, sisters.
Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home, Seventh-day Adventist home. I'm a fourth generation from my mom's side.
Yep.
I'm third generation from my dad's side. I have one sister. Actually, she came last year to Australia to study English. I really grew up in a very conservative Christian home, like I said. I love my dad. He's a hero for me. But my mom was the one who took the role of the priest in the home.
The spiritual leader, so to speak.
Yeah, the spiritual leader in the family. My dad comes to church, used to come to church with us every week, and still he comes to church. But my mom was the spiritual leader of the home. And she was the one having morning worship with us, evening worship with us. She was the one always praying for us and teaching us a lot of stuff about the Bible, reading us the stories. She was the spiritual leader in the house.
So you grew up in a Christian environment, and I can connect with what you just said regarding having your mother as the spiritual leader in the home. That was the same case for me, and my mother had the greatest influence on my spiritual journey, and I praise the Lord for that. So, that's a wonderful start as far as a wonderful Christian foundation that you had from both parents, but especially your mother. We're going to hear more of where that led you after this beautiful song, Shell.
By Nicole Nordman, this is the song, Just As I Am. Fantastic hymn and perfect for testimonies.
I wondered how to come to you. I did not dare believe it true that you regard the orphaned ones, beloved daughters, worthy sons. The broken and the barren too, I heard could find some rest in you. What kind of love in injury's place would leave in its stead the stain of grace? So I come in sorrow, I come in shame, I come to the cross with my just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
just as I am. So I come rejoicing with hands held high. I come singing words of new life, just as I am, without one plea but that thy blood was shed for me.
Was Nicole Nordman with Just As I Am. We still have a couple copies of our book, Danny, The Church Triumphant. So people, if you want that, you can still text in our code word, which is LU24 soon. We have a couple of copies left to give out.
Thank you, Shell. Beautiful song. LU24 soon. And if you would like to comment, we've had a couple of great comments. One from, was it Wayne? The other one from Jane? And great to hear from them. Would love to hear from you. Please share. It would be a blessing to hear from you. If you'd like to let us know your thoughts, 04-888-17624, 04-888-17624 for the free copy of The Church Triumphant, or just to share with us what your thoughts are on some of the things that we're talking about. So back to our friend Marcel. You were sharing with us in connection with the wonderful spiritual foundation that you received at home, especially from your mother. How did that impact the choices and, that early part of your journey, as a young person?
Yeah, it was very positive, actually. Like, I always actually wanted to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm. At what age did you sort of come to that conclusion, or that you believed the Lord sort of led you there? Was that pretty young? Like,
it was
you
very young.
School?
Like, my parents, they tell me that I was maybe 5 or 6.
Wow.
And I was like, I will be a pastor.
Wow.
And I knew I wanted to be a pastor, but,
Did you dress up in a little tie and a suit?
Well, that's how you go to church in Latin America. Latin America, yeah. And you carry your Bible, you carry your hymnal, your Sabbath school lesson.
So you put on your Sabbath best clothes.
Yeah. Yes.
Unlike here in Australia, where we put on our best board shorts and singlet. Okay, let's move on from there. Back to Honduras.
It was a very positive childhood. I went to an Adventist school as well. All the years of schooling. But when I went to uni, I decided like I was not going to pursue anymore, from me wanting to be a pastor, I was just going to do something else. And I did IT. And I would just actually come into church, but I was not converted. I was...
So would you say you were Laodicean?
I was lukewarm, yes.
Lukewarm.
Yeah,
neither hot nor cold.
Yes, I was lukewarm. I was coming to church just, to make my parents happy, but nothing was happening in my heart. Mm. Nothing was happening. And that lasted for a couple of years. And it was until at my church, the church board, they had the new elections for the next year.
A nominating committee.
Mm. And my name came up to be the youth leader of my church.
Mm. Were you part of a big church?
No, it was a small church in Honduras, mm-hmm. and it was around like 80 people.
Okay.
So that's considered small in Latin America.
Yeah.
A small church. Okay.
But you had a number of young people?
Yes. And, I knew the state where I was at that stage. I was not really connected with God. I was not having devotions. I was not praying. And actually, I was just praying to God saying, hey, you know where my life is at the moment. You know, I'm not the best person to be the youth leader. Mm-hmm. And actually, all the people, pretty much everyone was like older than me. And I was like, I have no experience. I've never been a youth leader. I'm not in a good connection with God. I'm not in a good place. And I was praying, God, please choose someone else. And actually, I named some people in my prayer. Choose this person. This person is better equipped than myself. But yeah, it was through different things that God was like, no, I'm choosing you. And he had a reason. And that's when I actually started like, okay, if I'm going to accept this position, I need to get, you know, get back to having my devotions, reading my Bible, pray, because I need wisdom. I need wisdom from God. And yeah, that change, I started to get serious with God. And I remember that there was a missionary school in Honduras, not in the place where I was living at, but it was maybe like 4 hours from the capital. I grew up in the capital city. And my mom, she used to be a canvasser, a literature evangelist.
Yeah, like selling books.
Selling books, yeah.
Selling Christian books.
Yeah, selling Christian
and
books.
And health books and so forth, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. So,
like door-to-door.
Door-to-door, yeah. Mm. She was door-knocking, selling books, like Christian books. And she had a friend that her daughter was part of this missionary school.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's friend told my mom, hey, there's a missionary school that they just opened. There's a lot of, you know, bunch of missionaries from America, from Europe, and they teaching youth, you know, scripture, how to give Bible studies, how to preach, and all the kind of stuff. And my mom got really excited, but she knew I was not going to go there because I had really good friends in the city. I grew up in the city. This was, you know, in the country. They didn't have electricity in that place.
Oh, have mercy.
You have to wash your clothes by hand. And at home, we had electricity. We had, like, washing machine. We had everything.
Wow.
And my
so
mom,
you're going back to the dark ages.
Pretty much. Pretty much. But my mom, she knew me. And she approached me and said, hey, Marcel, I heard there's a group of missionaries that just came to start a missionary school in Honduras. And there's a really beautiful girl from Poland there.
Oh!
You should go and see. Just, you know.
So,
yeah.
Doesn't hurt. Have a bit of a look.
Yeah. So she knew I was not going to go. But if she mentioned that, I was like, Mom. So I was like, okay, I will go. So my sister and myself, we went. And we were going to spend actually the whole week there.
Mm-hmm.
But we went there. And I hated that place. You know, I really hated that place.
Did you bump into that Polish girl?
I did.
Was there anything?
No, there was
There's nothing to get excited about. Not for you anyway.
Not for me. So I remember that I told my sister, we need to get out of this place. So we didn't spend the whole week that we planned to be there.
Mm-hmm.
The director of the school was going to the city, and I just asked him, hey, can we just... my sister and I, can we just go with you? We want to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back home, and I just continued with my life, being the youth leader of the church. And I remember that I don't know if you have heard of Stephen Bohr.
Oh, yes, Stephen Bohr.
I loved, you know, his sermons. Mm. He's like a solid.
Very solid
pastor in Latin America. And the missionary school invited him to have an evangelistic series, very close actually from the city, maybe like 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So I arranged, you know, all the logistics to bring the youth from my church.
Oh, wow.
To come to the series.
Mm-hmm.
It was powerful, man. It was powerful, and at the end of the series, it was Saturday.
How long did the series go for? Like for a month?
No, it was just like a week.
A week.
Because
a week
his agenda
series.
Was like pretty tight.
A week long series.
Yeah, it was a week. And I remember that he was making appeals for people to, you know, lead their life, pause their life for a year, and commit to go and live as missionaries for 1 year mm-hmm. In this missionary place. Mm-hmm. And he was just preaching, and the first appeal was the plenary in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I felt, the Holy Spirit was calling me, like, you need to stand up and go to, because they were making like an altar call to mm-hmm. go mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Be a missionary for 1 year. And the Holy Spirit was just calling me, like, Marcel, stand up, get up, go. And I was just wrestling. I was like, nope. And he finished the sermon, and I didn't stand up. I didn't go up front, but I knew. The afternoon, the same story happened. I didn't go. At nighttime, he was making the final appeal. I was wrestling with the Spirit. I'm not joking. I was like literally like sweating. Because I knew God was calling me to go to that place. I hated that place. I didn't want to go there because I went there before.
What a battle.
Yeah,
what
it was
going
a battle.
On in your heart and your mind.
Yeah, it was. I remember that I invited one of my friends that she was not a Christian. She came to the whole series. And when Stephen Bohr was making the final appeal, she had no idea what was happening in my mind, obviously, but she stood up and went to the front because she wanted to be a missionary.
Wow.
And give a year of her life.
And she's not even a Christian.
No, not even a Christian. And she stood up and went up front, and I was sweating, just battling with the Lord. But that, like, God used, my friend, mm-hmm. and that was the last thing I was like. Okay, I stood up, went to the front, and I accepted. I was like, okay. I'm going to give 1 year, Lord, 1 year, just 1 year. I'm going to then come back and do my life here in the city. So they called us to a room. They gave us like an envelope with all the things that they were requiring for you to go there. There was like a dress code, mm-hmm. which I didn't qualify for that at that time. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things, like, because when I opened the envelope, I went home and I opened the envelope in my room, and I saw, like the dress code, and I was like, well, Lord, I tried. I don't have money to buy more clothing, mm-hmm. Because the clothing at that time that I had, it was not appropriate for that place.
It was good for the beach, probably.
It was good, yeah. But not for that place. And I told God, well, God, look, I tried. Mm. Didn't work. Mm-hmm. The next day, I'm not lying, the next day, out of the blue, my dad came up to me and said, hey, Marcel, there's this big, it's like the biggest store for clothing in Honduras. They're moving places, they're moving location from one location to the next, and they're just selling everything in a very low price. Take my credit card and just buy whatever you want.
Wow.
And I'm like, no. Instead of being happy, I was like, no, Lord, why are you doing this to me? So I was like, that was like a way of God saying, clothing is not a problem. The money is not a problem. You're going there. So I went there. I bought proper clothing for that. Another thing as well, I was helping my dad in his business. And I knew I was the only helper. Mm. And I knew my dad was not going to be happy if I pause my university and go to this place for 1 year to be a missionary. And he had no helpers to help with his business. So I pray and say, God, look, you're calling me to this place. If you want me to go, you have to soft my dad's heart, because we have no helpers for the business. If I leave, he will have no people to help him. Mm. So if he says no, I'm not going. So I will leave that in your hands. And I remember that I went, I talked to my dad. And at first, actually, my dad was not happy. They were like, oh, why don't you go after? Just finish university first. Mm-hmm. Because I had just 1 year left mm-hmm. of uni. He said, just finish uni first and then go. And then I told him, look, I think God is calling me now. Like, but if you're not okay with the idea, that's fine. That's fine with me. No pressure. Don't worry. And I left. And I remember that my mom and my dad, I left and they were chatting. And then my dad called me and he said, hey, look, I've been talking to your mom. If God is calling you to go to that place, look, who am I to intervene in that calling? But one thing he said, I'm going to contact this friend of mine. If he is available to help me with the business, you're free to go. If he says no, unfortunately, you won't be able to go. He called the friend of his. The friend of his lost his job at that time, and he had no work.
Oh, wow.
He had no work, and my dad was just calling to offer him a job position.
Wow.
And then he was like, hey, yeah, look, I'm available for work. So, yeah, my dad called me, and he said, look, you're free to go. I contacted my friend. He's free to work for me. So that's how God led me into the missionary school. I spent 1 year learning things about the Bible, studying the Bible, Book of Revelation, Daniel, how to give Bible studies, how to preach. And let me tell you, it was the most amazing experience in my career. It was the most experience in my Christian journey. When I look back, that was actually the change on how God brought me, into ministry and how I changed completely my life. It was through that experience. Yeah.
Wow. What a powerful testimony. And this is really a springboard for where God would lead you next on the other side of the world from where you were. Yep. And folks, we're going to hear the rest and the conclusion of this incredible story of faith after this beautiful song, and then we've got the news, and then we're gonna land with where Marcial is now based on how God has led him.
Drawn to you, Lord, we are drawn to you, to the beauty of your presence in this place.
listening to Faith FM, positively different radio.
Do you have a Bible question? Join me, Lyle Southwell, after the 5 o'clock news every Thursday during Afternoons with Shell for biblical answers to all the questions from our Faith FM listeners, including you. Our commitment? We will leave no Bible question unanswered. So send in your questions to the Shell Show on 0488 880 856.
Hey everyone, you're listening to a repeat of our live show, Looking Up.
That's right, and if you think this is good, you'll definitely want to tune in on Wednesdays at 3:30 to join us for the live event, because you can actually participate. It's a free giveaway that you can claim. You can text in your questions and prayer requests.
Live is so much more fun, so catch you then. You're listening to the Looking Up show, and we are in the final stretch as we are tuning in and listening to this incredible story of faith, this journey of faith that Marcel has taken us on. And Marcel, we're just so grateful that you have made time in your super duper busy schedule to be on the Looking Up show today. And thank you so much for being on the program and sharing your story of faith. We love to hear stories of faith. So, where to from here? So this incredible year of missionary work, mm-hmm. based on how the Lord opened up all these doors. And I was thinking about that scripture where Jesus says, you know, why are you worrying about what you're going to wear? You know, if Jesus said, if I clothe the lilies, then, you know, who are clothed in better apparel than Solomon in all his beauty and all his apparel, then how much more I'm going to take care of your clothing. So yep, God took care of your clothing. He took care of your father's, needing, you know, mm-hmm. worker, needing worker need in order to keep his business going. He sent you there. That had a huge impact on your life, mm-hmm. that year of missionary work.
Yep. Yep.
So where to from here? Where did you sense the Lord calling you? What happened after that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, yeah, I went there. There was, the best experience in my Christian journey was there. At the end of that year, I knew I was going to go back to finish my degree, mm-hmm. because I promised my dad, but I knew I was not going to work as an IT person. Mm-hmm. I just knew I'm going to finish my degree, but I want to go back to the missionary place.
That must have been a challenge, because here you are spending another year. You've spent all this time. What was it three years you've spent? Was it a 4-year degree or 3-year degree?
Well, it took me longer because of the Sabbath. Okay. I didn't get into that, but yeah, it took me like 6 years to finish my degree. Wow. Because I had problems with the Sabbath.
Wow. Yeah. And so that's an issue over there in
Honduras. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm assuming exams that have been held
on
the Sabbath.
Exams and classes on the Sabbath, yeah. Wow. Which makes it difficult that all the people were attending, other Adventists that were going to exams and classes on Sabbath. And the lecturers were telling me, like, well, this person has a problem with that. Why do you have a problem with it?
Is that right? So yeah. others that were engaged in Sabbath exams and whatever, and they were just like thinking, oh, well, what can one do?
Yep.
And so you made a stand.
So yeah, that's why it took me longer to graduate.
A lot longer. Yeah. Wow.
Way longer.
So you're sensing God calling you to ministry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like definitely. Like I said, at the end of the year, I was like, yeah, this is where God is calling me. Mm-hmm. So I went back, finished uni. As soon as I finished, I didn't go to the graduation. I just just went straight to the missionary place to serve there for 2 years, mm-hmm. to help in a bilingual school there. And there was a family there that really impacted my life. You know, it was like the director of the school. He had like a really, really well-ordered family. And I can actually testify, you have heard that quote that it says like a well-ordered family does more in favor of the gospel than any sermon you can preach. Powerful. And I can testify of that. Mm. Because I saw his family and he was like a really, really awesome dude. He knew the Bible very well and he was a really good preacher. And I was asking, you know, asking him, how do you do with your family? Do you have family worship? What do you do? And he told me actually that the way how he learned the scripture, is because he went to a program called Arise in America, and I had no idea what Arise was. And he told me that he went there, he learned the Bible there, and I was like, oh, interesting, interesting. So it was coming towards the end of my 2 years being there as a missionary, now not as a student, but now as a staff. And I was just praying to the Lord, what's next? Mm-hmm. What's next for me? And I was praying, and Arise came to my mind. At that time, I had applied to go to America like 3 times to go to GYC, you know, like a youth congress. Congress for young people. The 3 times I got rejected by the embassy. And I heard about Arise Australia. So when Arise came to my mind, I was like, well, if it's going to be Arise, it's going to be in Australia, because I'm not applying anymore to go to America. It was through Arise. I didn't have the money, because as a missionary, what they give you is like a stipend, like a pretty much nothing.
Yeah, enough to buy toothpaste with.
That's it. That's it. Because they give you like accommodation and they give you food.
Mm. Well, what more do you want?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just, you know, the stipend was pretty much, yeah, toothpaste, toilet paper, that's it.
That's
it.
And a new toothbrush every couple of years.
exactly. So I didn't have the money, but this came to my mind, you know, Arise. I'm like, okay, Lord, but you will have to provide, because as a missionary, I had no money at all. A friend of mine that I'd met actually in the missionary place, she is from America. And she told me, hey, why don't you set up like a GoFundMe page and people can donate to your cause? And I was like, you know, I don't even ask money to my parents. I was like, no, I'm not going to ask money to people. And I was very reluctant, but she was like, look, don't be silly. Just open up that GoFundMe page. I can manage the funding from America. And whatever, if you need to buy, you know, tickets or pay for the program, I can do it from here. So reluctantly, I did it. I set up the GoFundMe page. I set up like a blurb that God was calling me to come to Arise, to Australia, but I needed the money because I had no money. I was broke. I'm still broke, but at that time even more. I remember, you know, like people started donating, people that I had never met in my life, even people from Australia, which I didn't have friends in Australia, I didn't have family in Australia, I didn't have connections in Australia. And actually, one person that donated from Australia, she was one of my classmates when I came to Arise. And I just asked her, like, you know, like, hey, why did you donate? Like, why did you donate money? Like, you didn't know me, you had no idea who I was. And she said that she was trying to find information for Arise Australia for that year, because she wanted to apply. And one of the first things that came up on Google was my story. We have no connections, no friends. And that's why she donated. I was like, oh, cool. And I was like, you know, like a God thing, like God, because we had never met before. Some other people as well. And obviously my parents contributed a lot as well to pay for the program here in Australia. And I remember that I actually, before that, just backtracking a little bit, I would just, I asked a pastor, a friend of mine, hey, should I just wait to apply for Arise because I don't have the money, or you think I should apply just in faith? And he was like, oh, don't be silly. Don't let money to stop you. Just apply. Just apply, even though you don't have the money. So I did apply. I didn't have the money. And then once I applied, money started coming in.
Wow.
You know, coming in. Then my plan was to be in the training and then go back to Honduras and continue working.
So what
year
was this again?
2000? I came to Australia in 2017, so that was 2016.
Mm-hmm.
All this, you know, because I want to go back to the missionary place. I had the money to pay for the program that God provided. But then something really interesting happened, that I had just money to buy one-way ticket from one place to Australia, but I didn't have the money to buy a ticket to return to Honduras.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the money actually stopped coming once I had enough to buy one-way ticket.
Wow. Wow.
And I'm like, Lord, like, I need money to come back. I need money to come back. But I was like, look, I'm going to buy just one-way ticket. Then you will have to provide the rest, and or you will have to do something. So what I did is I bought the ticket, one-way ticket. And I was, I came to Australia. I just trying to make the long story short. I came to Australia. When I came to Australia, I always have problems for some reason, maybe because I'm black or maybe my face. I always have problems with customs every single time in immigration.
Absolutely. Folk, if you could see Marcia, you'd be like, yeah, I would be concerned about this guy coming into our country as well. Absolutely. No, just kidding.
But look, for some reason, when I came to Australia, the immigration agent stopped me, but he was really, really friendly. And he asked me, like, you know, like...
what's in your suitcase?
Well, besides that question. No, he didn't ask me that. But he was, like, really, really friendly with me. And I was just praying the whole time. I know he's going to ask me for a return ticket, to show my return ticket. I know. But, Lord, the money stopped coming once I had just one-way ticket. So you have to do something. And he was friendly, just chatting, and asked me, like, what are you... doing here in Australia? And I said, look, I just come into to do a program that is called Arise. And he was like, oh, Arise. Oh, do you have the letter? I was like, yeah, I have the letter. And I gave him the letter. And he said to the other guy, the other immigration guy, hey, look, he has the letter. Don't worry. He's coming to do Arise. And he just let me go.
Wow.
He didn't ask me for, you know, for my
return ticket.
He didn't ask me anything. He just let me go. And I was like, I couldn't even believe it. I was like, oh, Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I came, you know, to Australia. I didn't have internet access because I left without letting the contact that was going to pick me up, because I was so excited that I just forgot to let the person that was going to pick me up, that I was already in Australia. So I forgot. I jumped into the train. And it was the train from, you know, from
Brisbane Airport
to the Gold Coast.
To the Gold Coast, yep.
And I don't know if those trains had internet access, but I had access in the internet. On the train. I know they don't have access.
No, they don't have access.
But I connected to the Wi-Fi that was on the train. Wow. And it was not like a personal Wi-Fi. It was like the train Wi-Fi. Wow. And I was like, God provided even internet connection for me. Just to message the guy that was going to pick me up to the train station, from the train station to the program. And that's how God provided, you know, every single money, every single hurdle that I was scared to face, he was just removing everything, and just opening doors for me. And and I'm here now.
So you completed your Arise training in 2017?
Yes.
And then where did you go to work after that?
Yes, after that, the conference, the North New South Wales conference, picked me up as a Bible worker.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts?
And, in my house church, the mm-hmm. Newcastle, mm-hmm. that now is Warners Bay Church. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you're a pastor of the church you're attending.
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yes. So my house church was the first Bible worker experience that I had.
Wow.
And now I'm pastoring the church that is now Warners Bay. And it's just, amazing how God led into that. And during my Bible worker training as well, I knew that the Lord was calling me into ministry, you know, like more like a pastoral ministry. I was in ministry, but more like a pastoral ministry. And that's when, the Lord led me to study like a grad deep in theology.
And before that, you ended up in Gosford Church as a Bible worker. Was that after my house?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there you bumped into someone, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. Well, actually, I met her. I met her in at a prayer conference.
At a
prayer conference. Yes.
What a place to meet your future spouse, at a prayer conference.
Yeah. So Charissa will know, because she was part of the organizing the prayer conference.
Praise the Lord for Charissa.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
your prayers were answered also for that potential spouse.
Yeah.
Wow. So you met her there, and then she ended up in
In Gosford, yeah, she was a member of Gosford Church, yeah, and I ended up Bible working in Gosford Church, yeah.
And that's where you continue to pray together.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
One prayer led to another, and away we go. Yeah.
Exactly. And we got married, and we got married during COVID.
Oh, well, yeah. So during COVID.
Yeah, we had to postpone twice the wedding, but you would know it would be a very stressful time. But yeah, we ended up getting married, and yeah, but. By the way, just going back to the Lord led me to study theology, and just another miracle that happened is I did my grad dip through Newbold in England. There's an Adventist university in England, but the Lord impressed a family here in Australia that till this day I don't know who they are, but the Lord impressed them to pay for my full year tuition there at Newbold College.
Wow.
when I was doing my my grad dip in theology, and that was a lot of money, and yeah, the Lord impressed them, and now I'm doing my master's at Avondale, finishing my master's in ministry and theology, and by the grace of God as well, like the conference here, North New South Wales Conference, had agreed to sponsor me as well, and I'm really grateful for that. As well for that opportunity.
Right. And you're being employed as well by this conference,
yes.
Who's also helping you with your tuition. So it's amazing how God has opened up all these doors. Yeah. So you cannot with a clear conscience say that you're here by chance, by accident.
No.
You're here by divine appointment.
Yeah.
God has called you.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
What if there are individuals out there who have heard your story and they are asking themselves, what does God want me to do? Does God have a plan for each and every person, do you think?
Oh.
Or does God have favorites? Does he have exceptions?
Oh, I like to think I'm his favorite. But in all seriousness, God has a plan for everyone in this world, and he wants to use everyone. Mm. He wants to use everyone to for his honor and glory, And I would just encourage people, don't let your circumstances stop you from what the Lord is calling you to do. If God is calling you, he will provide. Step out in faith and don't let anything stop that.
Amen. What a beautiful way to land your testimony. Well, our friend Marcial has some final thoughts, but before that, we've got a beautiful song.
This is Anthem Lights with the Invitation Medley, including Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
I have decided to follow Jesus. Turning back,
though none go with me, still I will follow.
Though none go with me, still I will follow.
Though none go with me, still I will follow.
No turning back,
no turning back.
I surrender.
That was the invitation medley by Anthem Lights. And that is what we want to do here, is invite you all to take part in having an experience like Marcel has been sharing with us, and let Jesus into your hearts.
Amen. And all to Jesus I surrender. When that takes place, Marcel, God has permission. We give him free rein for him to do his will in our lives. So as we look to land, and this is the time we don't enjoy on the Looking Up show, because this is our time to say farewell, but all good things come to an end here on planet Earth up until next week when we are here again. But in some final thoughts, Marcel, what could you share with our listeners, those that are asking, you know, how do I open the heart to God's leading? And, you know, what are some things that people can do based on your own experience? And you may have a scripture for us as well that you have found really helpful in guiding and leading you to follow God's direction.
Yeah, you know, like sometimes we wonder how to do God's will, how to know God's will. And I like actually some of the steps that George Mueller, I don't know if you have heard this.
George Mueller, yes.
Incredible story.
With the orphans.
With the orphans, yeah, on how the steps that he used to do to recognize God's will. I don't have them all here, but some of the ones that I remember, obviously he said that he prayed a lot. If you want to know God's will, you have to communicate with God. So you have to pray a lot. You have to read your Bible, because God is going to lead you through his word. He will never lead you contrary to his word.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Speak with mentors, spiritual mentors that you may have in your area, your local church. Speak to them. And also look for providence. God will open up doors for you. God will close doors for you as well. So look for those providence that God will show you. And I like as well a verse, I'm just going to paraphrase what it says, like, you know, whether you go to the left or to the right, you will hear a voice saying, this is the way. So I think we shouldn't be scared. If we, like the song, if we surrender everything to God, we shouldn't be scared that he will lead us in the right path. And he will guide us in where we should go. And I just want to, you know, just maybe close with my favorite Bible text. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where it says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus."
You know, amen.
He will supply all your needs, not all your wants, but all your needs.
Amen.
Whether you need, whatever you need, he will supply that for your life. And I really love that verse.
Amen. And you have testified to the truthfulness of that scripture this afternoon. And we just want to thank you so much, Marcel. We praise the Lord for your testimony and how God has led and guided you. We pray that God will bless you in your ministry, in your family life, and that you'll be fruitful and abundantly multiply, and that you and your wife will have those that perfect number of children. And so we want to have a prayer for you, brother. And by the way, you have passed, and you will pass with flying colors. I will recommend you to be the president of the South Pacific Division. So anyway, let's have a prayer for our brother Marcel. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you and praise you for the way that you lead and guide each and every precious soul that is open to your leading. Today we've been blessed once again to discover that those who seek you will find you when they search for you with all their hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Marcel. We thank you for the way you've led and guided him from his home in Honduras to Australia and ministering here with his family. We pray that you will continue to bless him and lead him and guide him. And thank you, Lord, for his willingness to come and to share how you have been good to him, how you have guided and led him and blessed him according to your will and purpose. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, folk, that's all we have for today. And we're just so glad you've joined us. And just remember, until next week, fear looks around, regret looks back, but faith always looks up. Keep looking up. Until next week, God bless.
Keep looking up. Don't give up. Don't give up when there's pain deep in your heart. Keep looking up, don't give up, don't give up, should the tears begin to start. With a prayer all your cares he will cast into
the depths of the sea. His love is always there for me.
Close it to you.